If BBOTT fatigue has got you down, switch to comedy for comedy nerds over at CISO. Get 2 free months of CISO with a subscription when you use our promo code RHAP. That's CISO.com for 2 months of free CISO with promo code RHAP. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast, and we are here ready to talk about on a night when we are waiting for the exit polls to roll in and the voting results to roll in. That is what we're here to do with big, huge stakes, much bigger than anything going on in the presidential election. I'm Rob Cesternino. Welcome back to our coverage. Of course, the man who is running all of the exit polling here, the great Taryn Armstrong. How are you?
I'm great. The people are calling me Taryn Silver. I don't know if that's a good thing anymore, but it's happening. And also, guess what? I have a lawyer on my team. That means I'm super smart.
Uh-oh.
Isn't that a great secret?
Watch out. Taryn is lawyered up, everybody. Watch out. Taryn, will you be pressing charges? Will you be filing a suit against any of the trolls harassing you on Twitter this season?
Oh, yes. Lots of them.
Class action lawsuit.
My own personal lawyer now.
Yes. Very exciting. Alex Kidwell is with us as always. Alex, how are you?
Hi, Rob. Hi. I'm in the field right now. That's why my lower third isn't working.
Yes.
I'm having technical issues, but I can at this time, even though the precincts in the Big Brother house will not be officially closing until late tomorrow night, I can go ahead at this time and confirm that one member of the sisters will for sure, at least one, will be leaving the house tomorrow.
Okay. All right. So one person, one of the two sisters, you're saying, will be leaving the Big Brother house on Wednesday night. That's what you're hearing from people in the field?
At least one. Yes, Rob.
At least one. Okay. Alex Kidwell, thank you very much for your report on that and more to come as we are here live. Hashtag RHAP. It is 6:17 p.m. Eastern time. I've already gotten some flack on Twitter criticizing me for podcasting on the as we await the results to our long marathon. We thought that Big Brother 18 was a marathon. The election, the over 600 days of election coverage all comes to a head later on tonight. But I have to do my job. Like, what am I going to do? Sit there and watch cable news for 24 hours a day, right?
No, yeah. That's what live feeds are for.
Yes, yes. I don't have to watch the live feeds. We'll check in when it's time to do the weekday show. That's what we'll do later on tonight. So we are here, and what a way to pass the time as we wait for the real life election results to come in. And we'll talk about all of the Big Brother news that matters here tonight. And so very excited to get into a lot to talk about here with everything that happened with the America's nominee plus the veto ceremony. A lot of fireworks this afternoon coming out of the veto ceremony. The sisters twist has been revealed to Shelby. So a lot to talk through here on a very exciting show. But first, some business of our own that we need to take care of. Of course, that we have finished our round one of the So You Think You Can podcast competition as we hunt for the next member to join the Big Brother live feeds. And we have had what a fun week it's been with Alex, Taryn, and Brent each hosting their own shows on robhasawebsite.com. Taryn, is it weird for you to go back to not hosting a show today?
No, I just have to flip a switch and then I go into guest mode again.
Guest mode.
Or correspondent mode, yeah.
Perfect. All right. And of course, Alex, you hosted your show on Saturday as well. And tonight I have I take no pleasure in revealing the results. I'm not like Jason at the veto ceremony taking glee in letting two people know tonight that they will not be moving on into round two. So I'm going to do the best I can to try to just rip the Band-Aid off here as we go through. We allowed a 48-hour voting period for each of the shows that we did where people could vote with our poll as conducted by the tabulator, Kurt Clark, the best in the business. Nobody questions his poll's results. He goes through it with a fine-tooth comb to make sure there's no irregularities going on. And that is exactly what he did. So first, we had our round one between Team Brent, which, of course, was Leanna, Cam, and it was Dustin that did their show back on Thursday. And I can all did a great job. People love Team Brent. It was a very fun show. Brent was a great host, but I am very sorry to say that Cam will not be moving on to round two. So the next Team Brent appearance will be Brent with Dustin and Leanna coming up on, when is that going to be? On Thursday?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The person that moves on out of Dustin and Leanna, they will be joining Jordan Parhar for a very special edition of the Big Brother Happy Hour, the reality TV Happy Hour, where Jordan Parhar will be hosting with the three people that graduate from Team Alex, Team Brent, and Team Taryn. So moving on to Team Alex. Alex, of course, you hosted on Saturday. Are you nervous?
You can't see it because I'm doing it below the camera. I'm wringing my microphone cord right now. Like, I'm just wringing it senselessly. I've never been this nervous on a podcast before.
Okay, well, so. Okay. All right, Alex. Well,
that should say something.
I'm sorry to say. All right, of course.
High anxiety.
All right. Of course, Team Alex was Puya, Nad, Adam, and
Aman.
That's right. That's our four. Hey, look, that had four. Of course, they have four. That what we need to do here is we're eliminating one person tonight, and then it will be a double elimination coming up in round two for Team Alex. Again, we had to make the numbers crunch, and I'm sorry to say that Nad will not be moving on to round two. Great job by Nad. A lot of people really liked her. Everybody was great, but I'm sorry to say that that's how the voting went. We had over 1,000 votes cast for the competition, and those are our round one results so far. So we're down to eight. We will have, after our 48-hour voting period closes on Friday, I'll reveal the person who's going home from Team Taryn. You're not getting off the hook easy, Taryn.
Well, we'll see about that.
Okay, we'll see. Well, I don't know. I don't know what you're gonna do, but yeah, somebody's going home from Team Taryn. All right, so let's get into. And again, thank you so much to Cam and Nad for their great work. What I would like to do is, in the future, I'm hoping to hear from some of these great people that we find. I'd love to hear from them on other podcasts, whether it's Big Brother or something else. You know, we have so much to cover, so I do hope that we can find some new RHAP stars in the making on this search for the next live feed correspondent. All right. Great job so far by everybody in the competition. And I really do appreciate how respectful the audience has been in terms of how they've been looking at everybody. And I think that everybody's been very positive so far. Turning away from things that are very positive, let's talk about what's going on in BBOTT. Okay.
All right.
All right. So let's go through the news of the last couple of days. And I guess why don't we start with going back to Alex being named as America's nominee. I know there was a big push for Chrissy to go up. I heard a lot of what Taryn had to say on the show last night. Alex, do you want to weigh in at all with the decision of America to nominate Alex instead of Chrissy?
One option had a lot of potential outcomes and a lot of possibility for variance and excitement. And America said, nah, I'm good.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. So Alex ends up going up on the block. We end up with a really high stakes veto yesterday, which I got to watch live. I'd say very exciting. The first time I was able to watch a veto ceremony or a veto competition play out live in person. Really exciting. It involved balance, that we were carrying balls across the balance beam, getting them into their slides. Taryn, do you want to touch on any highlights from the veto competition?
Well, basically, I think the crucial moment of the competition is when Shelby is about to finish her second stack of balls. She needs to bank those balls by getting back across the balance beam. She overthinks it or underthinks it or something, and she just runs across the grass instead, and she loses that entire stack. And that ultimately probably costs her, at the very least, a chance of winning this veto and a chance of surviving in the game, really, because at this point the Misfits basically have it in the bag. And so ultimately Jason takes the veto.
Yeah, huge moment. And I didn't necessarily understand that that was a rule. She seemed confused at the time, but you have to walk back across the balance beam to be able to bank your sleeve of 10. And then after that, it was just a foregone conclusion that Jason was going to ultimately win the game and win the veto in that spot. So we come out of that, and then it looks bad. But Alex, it seems like there's a bit of a glimmer of hope coming out of some of the late night conversation, correct?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Jason and Danielle decided they wanted to go ahead and approach the girls and, you know, pitch kind of a Final Five deal that really had no weight to it whatsoever. It was all kind of a ruse. This was kind of just a plan that Jason hatched just, I guess, for entertainment purposes. There really wasn't any strategic merit to it whatsoever. And ultimately, it did just kind of serve in making it that much more painful today when the girls realized that they had kind of been had.
Yeah, let's talk through this plan. Taryn, could you outline the details of what Jason and Danielle proposed to the Ball Smashers? I don't know if we should still say it like that if Whitney isn't even in the Ball Smashers anymore. Yeah.
Well, it makes it a little funnier almost. But basically, Jason and Danielle, or Jason really at first, they approached the remains of the Ball Smashers. And Jason said, I want to get Justin out. I want to take Justin out. He's too big of a threat. Let's do this. Let's reel in Danielle. Let's make a 5-person alliance. And really just got their hopes up. Alex and Morgan and Shelby were like, this seems too good to be true, but what else do we have? Like, this is exciting. If this goes through, this will be great. But as Alex mentioned, the entire thing was just, to trick them. I think it's for entertainment purposes. Like, thinking back to when Scott did his whole thing with Danielle, his motivation there was like, I know that Danielle is disliked by America, so this will be entertaining for America. I think Jason is thinking along those lines, thinking like, America doesn't like Alex. America doesn't like this alliance. It'll be great TV if I extra blindside them. So I think that's where it's coming from.
Well, I mean, looking at it, there's no strategic value to it. The only thing that can possibly come from it is you're going to further irritate people who you already have by the throat. I mean, they're done. Like, if you want Alex out, she's out. It's over. So there's no value to, like, you know, kicking the dead horse or beating the dead horse, so to speak. So, you know, really, yeah, the entertainment value is like the positive spin. Just being straight malicious is the negative.
Could I pitch the devil's advocate? Is there a possibility that they felt like, okay, well, I know they're not just going to roll over and die, so why don't I send them on this fool's errand where I'll keep them busy, keep them spinning their wheels so that they're not trying to flip Whitney back or working in some other, maybe more productive fashion for their game? Is that a possible spin, Alex?
If I had heard that conversation happen in the materializing of the plan, I would be more apt to side with that. I think that's more
seems fan fiction-y is what you're saying.
A little bit. I mean, I think, you know, like Terrence said, you know, it certainly could be, you know, hey, we think this is going to be entertaining. Hey, we think this is going to be something that keeps him occupied. I think, yeah, if you want to look at it in a positive light, that's kind of the positive look. And then, right, there are also people who see it and just say, like, what's the point? It just seems mean.
Yeah. Okay. So that takes us to the veto ceremony today, Taryn, to which at that point in time, they were under the impression, the Ball Smashers, that Jason was going to put Justin up on the block.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so what was the biggest takeaway from that? I watched the veto ceremony earlier. A little uneventful until we got to Jason's reasoning for why he's doing what he's doing.
Well, yeah, I mean, the ball smashers, they were blindsided by this, and they were upset. They were wondering, like, why did you do this, Jason? Justin said suckers. They kind of like afterwards ran to their own like sides, and they were like, why? What happened? We need to confront them. They ran outside. Asked Jason, like, why? So what was the point of that? And he basically was like, oh, I was legitimately considering options, like, you know, kind of trying to, you know, excuse, like, no, I was actually somewhat serious. And then it blew up into this entire argument that happened. It's probably the biggest fight of the season.
Yeah, I caught
c'est
some
la
of
vie,
it.
Baby.
Yeah.
C'est la vie.
I was watching a bit of it a couple of hours before we came on today. So, Alex, what's your feeling about all of the fighting in terms of how, I mean, is this a poor sportsmanship from Jason? Is it sore losership from the remains of the ball smashers? Is it both?
I mean, I think even Jason recognized that it wasn't really them being sore losers. That's like a shock reaction to, you know, they really felt hoodwinked by this because they didn't see what Jason had to gain from doing what he did. So they didn't see a reason for him to lie. So they're extra shocked by the fact that they didn't see, a reason for this to go down the way it did. So I think, you know, Jason recognizes this. And I think, yeah, this is a moment of, like, to me, this is like people being a little bit of sore losers. And we've seen both sides do it this season. And it's not a good look when anyone does it, I think. But it's just, it's one of these things that kind of happens through the nature and the psychology of this game through like 50 some days of stress that people kind of just get, you know, on the roller coaster of the game and your reactions become higher. When it's good, it's good. And when it's bad, it's really bad.
So Alex, when you say sore losers, are you talking specifically about from the plastic side of things?
No, I'm saying, like, in this case, I think it's a little bit of like the other side being sore winners. Yeah, I think, and we've seen a lot of that this season. A lot of like what the fans have had issues with, I think, on both sides is like people are pointing to like, well, they were celebrating in the other side's face so excessively. And, you know, it's one of these things where it's like everyone has kind of been guilty of it to some degree.
Yeah, I know Jason always harps on that. He mentioned it in his veto speech that the two things he said he couldn't forget was one, when they were dancing. But it seems like, boy, there's a lot of dancing that goes on in this show. I don't think I could be on BBOTT. Because I've been called out many times for my choreography. So I don't think I have the dance moves to be on either side of...
Rob, you are a great dancer.
No, stop, Taryn. You need to get your programming rewired, if that's what you're saying. But speaking of celebrations, let's talk about the celebratory dinner that Ryan reminds me of in the chat room. So the remains of the ball smashers were... in one of the rooms of the house, and they overheard Justin and Whitney talking about a dinner that was being planned. Taryn, can you talk us through that and the fallout from that?
Yeah, so this is what ultimately exposes Whitney to the ball smashers. She's talking with Justin right after the veto competition about having a celebratory dinner, and they're like, wait, she's up there talking to Justin right now about celebrating after we just lost and one of us is definitely going home. Like, clearly they had already suspected for a long time that Whitney had sold them out. And so they took this as concrete proof. Like, this is clearly an example of Whitney has sold us down the river. She's working with Justin. She's working with the other side. And that's what prompted them to come up with the plan to pitch to Jason, let's get out Whitney instead of one of us.
Okay. All right. Alex, any other long-term ramifications from the celebratory dinner fallout? Like, where does Whitney stand in the minds of the plastics? Will we see a confrontation between her and them?
Celebratory dinner gate?
Right.
No, I think what's come from that is, you know, what was going to come from that has kind of come from it. Because as Taryn mentioned, yeah, you had the situation yesterday where they heard her talking about the dinner and kind of, you know, asked what are you talking about? What's that about? And she played it off as, well, I mean, celebrating for, you know, Justin's no longer a have not. And, you know, later they didn't really buy that. Like, Justin's been he stopped being a have not 3 days ago. That doesn't make any sense. But then today, right after, the renomination ceremony, they kind of asked her again, like, so again, like, what was that about? And she said, oh, it's because Justin's not getting backdoored. And so, like, even within the context of just like the couple times she's been asked, she's contradicted herself. So I think it's pretty well established now. And she, you know, she can't even make eye contact with them because she knows that they know, you know, and that creates this kind of dynamic now where she's like not interacting with them the same way. So it's all pretty out in the open.
All right. And then the other headline that I want to talk through as well is then as the remains of the ball smashers were upstairs licking their wounds between Alex Morgan and Shelby Taran, finally, the sisters broke the silence on their secret and told Shelby that they were sisters. How did that come up?
That was only a second secret to come out.
Yeah. Well, basically right after the big argument happened, there was a lot of, you know, licking of the wounds, so to speak. And, those three, Morgan, Alex, and Shelby, they felt really bonded after that because they feel like, you know, we're on the outs, we're screwed, we've basically lost the game. Shelby thought, you know, whatever, I'm just going to tell Alex that I'm a lawyer. And that means I'm actually way smarter than you think I am. I'm not dumb. And so Alex immediately was like, oh my God, that's great. I've got a secret to tell you two. Just give me a second. I'll tell you at the right time. She waits until Morgan gets out of the diary room. She runs over, she grabs her. They go upstairs and she goes, we're sisters. And, you know, Shelby freaks out. Yeah.
Yeah,
she like tackles them both. It was a funny moment.
Yeah, that was a little bit like Shelby like revealed her cards. Like, I got a pair of jacks. What do you think? Like, oh, okay, full house. Oh, okay. Oh, all right. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, okay. Yours is a lot better.
Secret's not that cool.
Wow. Not as cool.
I've been holding on to this thing for 60 days.
Yeah. All right. So now that that's out, Alex, does that change anything at all?
Nope. Not really. I mean, Alex is doomed. I mean, what's he going to do? His lines are firmly drawn. Jason like made it. He like jokingly drew a new one in pencil last night only to erase it. I mean, the lines are still where they are.
Yeah. Well, Jason, I believe, said in that big fight today, just that you can. What was the line, Taran? It's not my fault. I can read between the lines any way you draw them or something like that. I don't think that's a phrase.
I can read between the lines better than you can draw them or something. I don't know.
Okay. We'll go with
it was
that.
Weird.
I don't know if it's a t-shirt yet, but we'll see. We'll see. All right. So we have our eviction coming up on Wednesday night. And of course, Taran already has his new poll up. To talk about where America is going with the nomination vote. All right, so first, let's just set up who are the votes that who is casting a vote first, Alex?
Casting a vote. Then you've got Whitney, or no, I'm sorry, you've got Chrissy, you've got Danny, you've got Justin, and America.
Okay, right? All right, so.
Yeah.
Is that confirmed that Whitney cast a vote?
No, the block is Morgan, Whitney, Alex.
Okay, Morgan. So, okay. So Danny.
So the Chrissy, votes are Danny, Justin, Chrissy, Justin, America.
America. Okay. All right. And so we would imagine that the late night jamboree is all going to be on the same page. So again, this is a situation where America's vote is going to be moot. But Taran, where is your polling indicating that this vote is going?
It's currently indicating that the vote will go toward Alex, although Whitney does have a decent percentage, given that it's a useless vote, with 38% to Alex's 53%.
It's interesting to see ultimately where this is going to go, because we've talked about a lot in terms of, or not so much that we've talked about, but in the idea of sort of suppressing the vote, where, you know, if you sort of can really, like, in talking about in our political system, you know, if you sort of get people not that excited anymore about their candidate, maybe you could suppress the vote. Alex, do you think that this is going to start happening with all of the plastics fans, where do you feel like that they will start to disengage with BBOTT now that things are looking so bad for their side of the house? Or do you think they have one last rally in them?
Well, potentially. I mean, I think it's kind of a mixed bag. I think you are definitely seeing some people start to feel disenfranchised the way we talked about kind of early in the season, by the outcome just kind of not going their way. They feel like they invested a lot of time and energy into this thing and it's not playing out at all the way they feel like it should. Then conversely, I have seen like there's the other side of the coin, people that feel like, you know, they're ready to, burn it all to the ground, basically. And there is a growing movement to see Chrissy win this game because the Ball Smasher side feel like if all of those people are gone, then wouldn't it be a fitting end to this dumpster fire of a season to see Chrissy as the ultimate winner?
Now, I had written that in the chat room during your show yesterday, Taryn, as a joke. And I had written that, do you think that we will end up seeing the Ball Smashers fans eventually, if all of their picks are off the board, will they Sanjaya this thing and vote for Chrissy if they take her to the end? I don't think that people should do that. I don't think I'm going to get behind endorsing that people should do that. But don't you feel like that is the biggest danger for the for Jason specifically in terms of, okay, there is no jury. I can do whatever I want. But is he being short-sighted in terms of really turning off the fans of the other side?
Oh, absolutely. And that's the thing, because what it's looking like right now is that there are going to be three misfits in the finale. And if there's three misfits in the finale, given how, I mean, granted, I think that Danielle probably has the most fans and we can get into that a little later, but I think that it will be the plastic fans who ultimately decide who wins, because I think the misfit fan vote is going to be split between Danielle, Jason, probably those two, and then the plastics will be able to decide which between them is going to win. If the plastic fans all go for Chrissy, I don't think they'll be able to pull through. I think they're still a minority. But even so, maybe Jason and Danielle split enough that Chrissy does get the win if they try that. So it is definitely a danger. You don't want to piss off the Misfit fans because they are a large contingent, and I think they're going to decide the winner.
It's interesting, and I feel like that this is sort of like where we start to get into the cross-section of this election that we've talked about for so long with the BBOTT. And I think that both of the candidates in our political, in our presidential election, I think have probably or certainly gone too far into not making the other side feel included in what they're doing, where it's like, I'm here for my side, and it's all about my side and making my side happy, and I'm going to attack the other side. But there isn't any sort of reach out to the other side to say, like, hey, you can also feel good about me winning the game. And I really feel like that Jason and the people from the Late Night Jamboree have done a bad job with this and are sort of being short-sighted, that there is going to potentially be fallout in the vote, Alex.
Yeah, well, and that's why I thought, you know, certainly early on and even into recent weeks, that Justin was such a strong contender to win this game, because here's the guy who's on the right side of things, who's not like saying the wrong things. He's just kind of doing his thing. He's where he needs to be in terms of the numbers, but he's not getting any of the heat. But yeah, then in recent weeks, I think, you know, for whatever reason, he has kind of like joined in more in some of like kind of the thing like Taryn talked about earlier, where he's like calling people suckers to their face and stuff like that. Like, it's funny, but it's not going to win you the fans you don't already have.
I thought Justin had crossover appeal, and I've been talking about him as the biggest threat to win this game all season long. And I'm not sure if he has that anymore. I think that he's losing it. And I do wonder, I know that Danielle has been a trendy pick for a lot of people to say that she could potentially win the game. I do think that there is a fracture coming to the Late Night Jamboree side of things, where we're going to start to see like, between whether, you know, Bernie and Hillary and Trump and other Republican candidates, where, you know, a fracture in the party. I wonder if that the Late Night Jamboree is going to start to fracture off as well into a Jason camp and a Danielle camp. And then again, where's the Justin camp going to go? So that may end up being the storyline as we go down the stretch. But I really feel like that Jason was in the best position to do this. And I still believe that Jason is probably going to be the likely winner, but I would have liked to have seen for him a pivot where he could start to go from the guy who was sort of the polarizing figure on one side of the house, but then start to reach out across the aisle and start to be a person that everybody could get behind. But I have to say, I've been disappointed with his ability to do that. And the thing to me that I saw that I really did not care for that he did was when I watched this veto competition play out, and when he won the veto, and I said, what a great moment this is for Jason, where he goes into this house and then ends up, you know, he won the veto the first week, but he hasn't really been winning a lot of competitions. And then sort of at this crucial moment in the game, he wins the veto and then proceeds to immediately just start yelling, eat a D-I-C-K, eat a D-I-C-K, eat a D-I-C-K. What? Who? Why? Who all does this? Hookers. Who says that? What is that?
Lots of Misfits fans say it. They say it to me
on
Twitter.
Someone told Taryn to eat a D just yesterday.
They said to choke on it.
I mean, why? Who said, like, it wasn't like, you know, somebody was, you know, yelling at him, lose this competition. It just that to me, it just does not speak to being a representation of what this season is supposed to be. I mean, I think that BBOTT already was dealing with the stigma of being sort of a lower season of Big Brother, not even a real season. And then here's Jason, who for all intents and purposes is going to probably end up being the face of BBOTT. I don't like how he's carrying himself, and he's not elevating himself to me as somebody that you would, you know, hold up in high regard as one of, like, you know, he had an opportunity here, I believe, to be sort of like, if not on the Mount Rushmore of Big Brother, sort of like, okay, well, we can hold him up as, you know, this great player. And I think that he is the best player in this game, but it's not my style. I don't like this. I can't imagine somebody winning a Survivor Challenge saying anything like this. I can't imagine one of the great Big Brother players, you know, we have emotional moments, but that was way too crass in my mind.
Yeah, it was like a crass Boogie celebration. Like it was worse than Mike Boogie, which kind of says a lot. But I think that Big Brother OTT is kind of, it's like the underbelly of Big Brother, right? Like only the crazy people are watching this show, and it's having an effect on the house guests themselves. Like they have, it's almost like strangely interesting to watch how they have gone from the very beginning when they were all so friendly to each other. And it usually devolves from that, but it has devolved so much. It is like every single person in that house is a worse person coming out of that house. Like they have done terrible things to each other. They've all been hypocritical. They've all whined incessantly. Like it's kind of crazy.
It's too much.
And I think maybe another element here is that, you know, like Taryn said, the OTT is definitely different and, you know, the game is different. But also, like, you know, Julie Chen did tell us at the BB18 finale she was going to be involved with this thing. And she's really not, you know, like Julie's not there. The production team is kind of minimal, I think. And like there is a saying that when the cat is away, the mice will play. And I do feel like that's kind of what's happening here, where like if that was a live competition in front of a live studio audience, Jason's not going to do that because he knows that like his family might be in the crowd. You know what I mean? There's no danger of that here.
That's interesting. So I like this idea about sort of like this broken windows theory of the Big Brother game. And that, you know, sort of speaks to, I don't know if it's a theory or if it was a paper that was written, but sort of like, you know, in a city where it's sort of like, there's one broken window where like one bad thing is happening. People feel like, oh, okay, it's a free for all. I can do whatever I want because nobody is policing this. I feel the same way about the chat rooms. Also, I see when like, it's like once one person says something crazy and nobody checks it, everybody's like, oh, okay, it's just a free for all for now. But that being said, that's why, you know, we try to at least, keep an eye on things. A graffiti on the subway, as Walt says in the chat room. Yeah, it's gotten out of hand. And again, I am not putting anybody from the Ball Smashers on a pedestal. And that, you know, I have really been, I think, pretty level-headed. You know, I don't have anybody who is a far and away a favorite in this season. You know, I think that, you know, the sisters, I certainly understood the appeal, especially Alex more so than Morgan. But I really don't think that they've done anything that's really captured my Hartmine. I think Shelby is fine. She says some funny stuff. She had a good quote yesterday on the daily recap about being in the house.
There are no dogs here. No Harry Potter. No hot guys.
But it's a very funny line. I just wish that somebody would sort of like take the high road here on the OTT.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be great because, yeah, I mean, it would be great for them. I do feel like if there was one person here who, you know, like I thought Justin would be, if one person even just like stops doing anything really and just kind of like starts sleeping, I think they'd be in better shape. Like, I think, you know, Chrissy is doing better with anti-fans now because Jason and Danielle are like the most recent offenders, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
If she were to start like antagonizing Alex and Morgan and Shelby, then she would lose the people who are currently mad at Jason and Danielle. It's a weird kind of a dynamic.
Yeah. Now, again, before I get too much on a soapbox, am I being hypocritical or am I at least, getting history wrong, Taryn? Is this a part of every season of Big Brother? I mean, going back to, different seasons of the show, you know, there's always a point where people are like, okay, well, this person was, if we go back to, oh, Andy was saying, you know, we could say he's a really good winner of the show. And oh, he was saying the terrible things about Alyssa when she was gone from the house and stuff like that. Is this just a part of every Big Brother season? And we don't really have the TV show three times a week to give us sort of the narrative of the edit where we can see a more polished version of the show?
I do think it happens on every season, but I do think that this is an amplified version of that. I think it's gone deeper than it usually does. I think probably the most comparable season is season 6 when both sides hated each other so much. And I do think that the sides also has something to do with it because these people they haven't even really socialized with each other. So they really just demonize the other side so much. And that doesn't usually happen as much on a regular season without sides, without America votes. So I really do think that this is definitely more than maybe we've ever seen, but definitely in recent years, more than we've ever seen.
Okay. So, instead of the season commentary, let's get back to the game a little bit. So we're heading into the double eviction coming up, presumably Alex going home in the first part of the double eviction, leaving us, 7 people heading into this where Jason can't play in the HOH competition and neither can Shelby. So that leaves 5 people competing for HOH. It will be Chrissy, Danny, Justin, Morgan, and Whitney competing for the HOH. And basically, if not for Morgan winning the HOH, it will presumably be Morgan or Shelby going home in the double eviction, Taryn?
Yes.
Okay. Alex, do you have any faith that Morgan will be able to win this?
She needs to. She hasn't really won anything yet, so it's hard to want to bet on her. But if she doesn't, yeah, one of those girls are definitely going to go home. And as someone who likes good, entertaining feeds that are spontaneous, I don't necessarily want to see, an HOH competition where as soon as it's over, I kind of know what the outcome of the entire night's going to be. So,
yeah. Taryn, I have no feel for Morgan in this game as a player. I certainly had a feel for Alex and who she was as a character. I know almost nothing about Morgan except for the fact that she's Alex's sister. Is there a possibility that she could emerge with her sister being out of the game?
Yeah, I mean, I guess, if she manages to survive next week, I do think that she has the capability in her to infiltrate back in with the other side, because I think after the double eviction, the misfits are going to turn on each other. 100%. I think whether it's Jason going after either Whitney or Jason or Justin or whatever, like they're going to start to attack each other. And if Morgan is the sole person on the outside, they're going to try and pull her in. She was always somebody that was good at being social and integrating herself with other people. In recent weeks, she got a little caught up with what Alex was doing and got too attached to Alex, and she let her social game go. And that was kind of a fatal flaw for both of them. But with Alex gone and potentially even Shelby gone, I do think that she could reintegrate herself, but I don't think she can win the game.
And there have been conversations. I mean, as Taryn's alluding to, you are already starting to see people think along those lines. Chrissy and Justin have talked about how they may certainly, at least with Whitney, want to take her past Danielle. So those conversations are already beginning to happen to varying degrees.
Okay. I think the interesting scenario for tomorrow night might be what happens if Whitney wins HOH in the double eviction in the second part, Alex. Has she talked about that with anybody in the house?
Yeah, I think that's really an interesting scenario. To me, that's the one that really is fascinating because logic dictates and the pressure will be on her to put up the two people who have just seemingly betrayed her, the two people who she feels now isolated against in Morgan and Shelby. But that's really not good for Whitney, the individual who wants to win a game for one person as a winner.
Yeah.
Really, she needs to find a way to kind of like subvert that and maybe take out Danielle or, I mean, even a Jason, because if she managed to get Jason out somehow, Justin becomes much, much more loyal to her by default.
But Taryn, isn't the move for Whitney to throw this HOH, or do you feel like that she starts to need to add to her resume so that people, at least in the end of the game, could start to get behind Yas Queen Whitney?
I mean, she needs to throw it. There's no good move for her. She has said that she will put up Morgan and Whitney, Morgan and Shelby, if she wins, which would be a really bad move for her. Yeah. And I think she would get used and then she'd get dumped. And so I think she needs to throw it. I don't think there's really much of a shot that she goes home during the double. So I think she'll be fine in that sense. And then if she gets through this week, even if Morgan wins and takes out somebody like Jason, that's great for her. If Justin wins and takes out either Morgan or Shelby, that's also great for her. Then she can say, hey, Justin, Chrissy, let's team up. Let's do this. And then she has, I guess, a shot, right? Because Justin has been losing fans pretty rapidly.
Alex, how come we haven't had a moment on the feeds yet where the Ball Smashers go off on Whitney?
Because you've really just had these kind of moments where they've gone off about her after they've had these conversations with her. I mean, they're less inclined to get mad at Whitney and more inclined to either talk about how they feel betrayed by her or then go out and, you know, Jason ended up catching the brunt of it because Jason and Danielle were pitching the idea of being in on the plan to, you know, go after Whitney. So Whitney, by just kind of staying quiet, has allowed everyone else to fight.
But basically, have they had the confrontation with her? Like, what are you doing? Why did you screw us over?
Yeah, but they didn't really put the screws to her. Like, she contradicted herself a little bit and she, you know, she gave answers without eye contact that weren't strong answers. So they got the info they need and they're like, all right, Whitney, we get it.
So yeah, like they did confront her. It wasn't really a blow up because she didn't yell back at them. Right.
Right.
And then, you know, when Jason and Justin become involved, they're the ones that yell back and that's the big fiery confrontation. But when they confront Whitney, it's just like, no, you know, it doesn't really go anywhere. They are mad at her. I think they genuinely feel hurt by her. And I think that's another part of it where like they're really angry at Jason, but they're kind of hurt at Whitney. So they don't want to approach that as much as they do with Jason. So yeah, like they did confront her, but it just, you know, it wasn't like explosive like the other one.
To be honest, it's the same problem people had when they tried to confront Nicole last season. Mm-hmm. It's like you come at Nicole and you hope that she's going to like blow up and get upset and like, you know, let's that happened with James and he totally revealed something he shouldn't have about the vote. But with Nicole, she was just kind of like, you know, no, I didn't say that. And that's basically what Whitney did. It's just, no, I've never said that. And
so,
I mean,
Taryn,
what can you do?
Is the door open for Whitney potentially to have like this Darth Vader story arc where she turns, but then potentially if she throws the Emperor or one of the Emperors into the heart of the Death Star at the end of this thing, do you think that the Plastics fans could turn around and support her in the end?
I don't know, because, you know, it's been said before that flippers never win. And I think there's probably a lot of Plastics fans that are really mad at her for turning. And I don't know, like, who are they more mad at? Maybe they're more mad at Jason and Danielle right now because of their whole shenanigans with pretending to be on their side. So maybe she does have a shot at that. I definitely could see a situation where, you know, she takes out, maybe she takes out Danielle at the last second and everyone thinks that Danielle is going to win, but Whitney does it instead. And she goes to the end with, you know, maybe it's Chrissy and Morgan, maybe it's Chrissy and even Justin. And I think she could have a shot if she has the backing of the Plastics fans.
Yeah, I had said last week I thought that Whitney was drawing dead. I didn't think she had enough support on either side. But if she's maybe able to articulate to people like I don't need to go into the whole Whitney impression, but like it was a sinking ship. What did you want me to do? I was supposed to, you know, go down with the ship. Like I got off and I got to the end. So sue me.
Right. And I think that maybe also speaks in part to why they aren't getting as mad at Whitney as they are at Jason and Danielle, because they, to some degree, have to realize that they were culpable in a conversation that was had at Whitney's expense. You know what I mean? Like, did Jason hear the name Whitney come out of their mouth and was then able to go take that to Whitney? Yeah, that happened. So in that sense, like, she is able to deflect blame pretty fairly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I know for the people that are fans of, you know, the Ball Smashers and really wanted to see them run the table here, like, got to win a competition. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. There's only so many care packages and things that America had a chance to vote on. And, you know, they just needed to get it done. You know, they needed to win that veto yesterday. And I think you got one last stand here. And that's Morgan's got to win an HOH.
Yeah, I mean, that is really the only hope whatsoever. Although I do think that Shelby also has a decent shot at winning the game. I think that she has a decent following. And again, if Shelby is the one that survives the double eviction, which I think is probably more likely than Morgan, I think that she is somebody that, yeah, we've heard plenty of Misfits talk about bringing Shelby along to close to the end, 5-4. And then if Shelby sneaks into the end against Jason and Danielle, I think Jason and Danielle probably split the votes. All the Plastic fans go to Shelby. If the Plastic fans are like 40% of the vote, Shelby could win the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although it is interesting, I did hear Justin and Chrissy talking together about how they kind of want to see Shelby go first over Morgan. And I don't know if this speaks to that Shelby in recent weeks has just won HOH or if she's like letting up on her playing dumb act a bit. But I believe people are starting to see Shelby as more of the threat when you compare her to certainly to Morgan, who hasn't won anything.
Something that I would like to see if Shelby is up on the block against Morgan in the double, and it looks like they're going to send Shelby home over Morgan. I mean, Shelby knows about the sister twist now. And I mean, she could throw a Hail Mary and be like, guys, you think that I'm more popular than this girl? She was a sister twist. She was sisters with Alex. She's totally going to win if she gets to the end because they're going to vote for the twist. Mm-hmm. I want to see that.
And I think something that's really interesting here is that, you know, people are so sure that Alex is so much more threatening than Morgan, but I mean, neither has more resources or ability to maneuver in the game right now than the other. The only difference that I see really is that Morgan still has a care package that she can win. So that's a conversation no one's having in the house that I feel like should certainly be something you're thinking about with only two care packages left to come.
Great. Let's talk care package, because that is what we have going into Wednesday night. By all indications, we've seen that Jason seems like that he believes Alex is the biggest threat on their side of the house. He mentioned it in his veto speech. Seems like that the votes are going to be going against Alex. I saw when Alex and Morgan and Shelby were talking, Alex was saying, oh, they're probably just saying it's me, but they'll probably vote out Morgan to vote out the care package. That does not seem like that's the case at this time. So let's assume that Morgan is eligible for this double eviction care package. Taryn, I know you have a couple of polls up right now to talk about this. So what is the data showing you? Where is this next care package going?
All right. So basically I put up two polls because we don't know what's going to happen with the HOH, but we can generalize. And I
can
said,
you just
know,
speak to that the voting period on this, the very specific voting period on this one?
Tight window.
Yes. So as soon as the nominations are made, I believe it's at what? The voting starts at midnight Eastern. It's either 11 or midnight Eastern.
I think it's 9 house time to 10 house time. So yeah, that's right. Midnight to 1 Eastern.
Midnight to 1 Eastern. And so yeah, it'll be an hour to vote for this care package. So you will only have a short amount of time to decide. And that's why I had to get the two different polls to get as much information as possible before this happens. But basically, if one of the Misfits or Whitney wins HOH, I said, who are you going to give the veto to?
Okay, and there's only four possibilities here. Justin, Danielle, Morgan, and Whitney. Taryn, what is your poll showing?
Poll is currently showing with 42% of the vote that Morgan will get this care package. She will get the veto.
Okay, interesting.
And Danielle is behind with 31%.
Okay.
So this is interesting because it probably sends Shelby home if this is true.
It's really just immunity for Morgan at that point.
Yes.
And then it would force the HOH to put another nominee up on the block. Also, potentially a little bit of the pecking order revealed, right? Or do you think that people would just brush it off as, it's just a pawn?
Well, it certainly could be pecking order. I mean, it's like, especially for somebody like Whitney. Like, I think, you know, if Justin wins, is he going to put Whitney up as a pawn? I don't know. He's probably going to put Danielle up as a pawn. Mm-hmm. And then... Maybe Whitney then decides this is my time to make a move. Maybe we need to get Danielle out. Maybe that improves my spot in the Misfits. I think there is some potential for some trickery going on, especially with the veto. If the veto does go to Morgan, because that will force one of the Misfits to go up, could be Danielle, could be Jason. And if Jason or Danielle are sitting on that block, you have to think that Whitney, who has been told by Justin that his side doesn't trust her and doesn't want her to get toward the end, you have to think that she's going to be thinking, wow, this is such a great opportunity to take a shot right now. It could happen.
Okay.
And also just important point to note, I don't know if we've actually touched on this, but you know, because this care package is a veto, there is no actual veto competition proper during this double eviction. We're just jumping from HOH ceremony to care package or to another eviction, and then ultimately another HOH competition.
Okay. All right. So Taryn, talk us through then the second part of the poll. If Morgan wins the HOH, who will people vote for the double eviction veto?
Yes. And this one was interesting to me because basically if Morgan wins the HOH, one of the Misfits are going home. And so this is essentially, who do you care the most about? Who do you want to save? And Jason can't get it, so he can't get those results. But to me, I figured it's probably between Justin and Danielle here. Who has more fans, essentially? And based on what I've seen, Danielle is killing it. She has 46% of the vote to 18% for Justin. So based on my poll right now, it looks like Danielle will crush Justin in the finals if she makes it there with him. So yes, Danielle should be looking like she will get the veto. She will be saved if Morgan does get this HOH.
Can we just talk through what that vote would look like potentially? So Morgan wins the HOH. Okay, Taryn. And then she would put up what, Jason and Justin on the block?
You know,
I would think so.
Not necessarily. You know, they've talked about how they kind of almost feel like they want Justin to win now after the Jason and Danielle thing. Also because, you know, Justin already has money and they feel like it'll impact his life the least. Like, they're getting really spiteful about it.
Justin has money.
Yeah, they you know, they're saying like, oh, Justin's loaded, so who cares? It doesn't matter if he wins.
Alex, is that true?
I don't know. I mean, he's got that restaurant. Somebody on Reddit went there and said it was pretty good. So,
well, okay. I think they have this perception that he does based on some of the things he said. I forget the specifics of what he has said that's given them that impression, but they definitely have had that impression.
C'est la vie, baby.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay. So I think there's a decent shot they decide to take a shot at Jason and Danielle. Maybe they put both of them on the block. Who knows, though? They haven't really discussed it because it hasn't really been... I mean, they're concentrating right now on, like, one of us is going home and this sucks. The game's basically over.
Yeah. And right, America will not have a vote in the double eviction, correct, Alex?
Correct. No America's nominee, no America's eviction
vote. So hypothetically, in a Morgan HOH with Jason and Danielle on the block, then only Shelby, Whitney, and Chrissy will cast a vote. So only three votes there to evict.
And Justin.
So Shelby, Whitney, Chrissy, and Justin. Okay, so four votes.
Yeah.
And so there could potentially be an HOH to break the tie.
Yeah, so basically, you know, with Danielle having the veto, I think it's the ultimate nominations will probably be Jason and Justin, or maybe if Danielle decides to save Jason, it will be something like, if Jason and Justin are the initial noms and she saves Jason, it'll be something like Chrissy and Justin, in which case I think Justin probably goes home or Jason goes home. So Depending on where those votes fall, depending on who's the initial nominees, I think it's going to be either Jason or Justin if Morgan wins the veto and or Morgan wins the HOH and the care package goes to Danielle.
Now, this also could be a huge waste of a care package for somebody where hypothetically, if we end up with, let's say that, Christy wins the HOH. And okay, now Morgan and Shelby are on the block. And then now, okay, let's give the care package. Oh, Danielle, you won the power of veto. Okay. I choose not to use the power of veto. You totally screwed her out of a care package.
Yeah, yeah, but there's only one left.
I mean, well, if I'm a Danielle fan in that spot, then I'm saying, hey, send this to Justin. Poison. Don't vote for your person if one of the misfits is HOH and puts up the two ball smashers up on the block.
Well, it's getting interesting. We're at this part of the season now where voting needs to almost be strategic. If you're really trying to like engineer someone to the win, voting almost needs to be strategic on a level that I don't think many people are really giving credence to. And I doubt CBS even really considered when they pieced this thing together, because like for a lot of weeks, it was really simple. Just vote the way your people either say they want on the feeds or, you know, what makes sense. But now, I mean, people on the feeds are even actively requesting things that aren't necessarily right for their, you know, mathematical odds. And you've got a lot of fans who are just like not realizing that, right, to assist this person, you might need to actually just bury this person or be at this person's expense. Like, there's a lot of odd variables at play here.
I mean, that's exactly what's happening. Between Jason getting the co-HOH, that was bad for Jason. It's the reason why he's even potentially in trouble this week in the double eviction. And he could have been in a lot more trouble if that veto had gone a different way. To Danielle getting, having Alex put up on the block, I still have a lot of people telling me that they think that I was trying to trick them, when ultimately the odds did end up being exactly what I said they were going to be, but
Karen's
they still think it was the right
pull
move.
Like a Jason at the veto ceremony and be like, and then Alex is gonna be like, suckers, you fell for his plan. That's not the case. These guys are giving you the straight scoop. There's no agenda here.
Absolutely.
Definitely okay. Not.
Especially not from Taryn. You ever heard that robots don't have agendas?
I've been very upfront about, you know, if somebody asks me a question, I'm going to give them the honest answer, despite anything. You know, like I'm going to give them the strategically sound answer that they're looking for. Yeah. So.
No, but Taryn, that just like last week when you were trying to give the Danielle fans some advice, I really think that this is a big thing for the Danielle crew, where if a misfit wins HOH here and they already have the ball smashers up on the block, give that care package to Justin. Put that care package on Justin, because that we widely assumed that final four, that trip to the final four care package, the big care package that's sitting out there like a big matzo ball is just waiting for somebody. And now if you give this one to Justin and waste a care package on him, it's Danielle's for the taking. Does anybody else have a fan? Like, I guess it opens up the door for the Morgan fan. That's a possibility as well.
Here's really the thing. It's like you're thinking high reward, but there is a high risk element, and it's not necessarily any
different. Go big or go home.
Doesn't really change the strategy, but like you said, yeah, if Justin wins, who cares? But if Morgan were to be getting that care package, there's a lot of scenarios that could see Danielle go home. Like, I think she could potentially, you know, Justin and Chrissy have talked about potentially taking her out before Morgan. I don't know that they would do it before Shelby, but like there's a window there that is potential risk where she's totally safe otherwise. So I get what you're saying, but if she were to somehow go home, then I don't think people would be very happy. But
well, yeah, I think basically the strategy is, if you're a Danielle, I think Rob has it completely right. I think if you're a Danielle fan, you want to give this care package to Justin. And if you're a Justin fan, you want to give it to Danielle, right? Like, you want to do the opposite of that.
Right.
Right. So, and since worst case scenario is Morgan, then that speaks well to, like, you don't have to worry about that too much, because it does look like if, Well, I don't think she's got a great shot of winning it if, well, certainly if she's head of house.
Well, you know what she's going to come down to next week? The Kingmaker is going to be the Jason fan in that vote. Does the Jason fan want to see Justin or Danielle get to the final four?
Probably Justin. I think they have to be really scared of the Danielle fans right now because Danielle seems like she is really surging in popularity. And I think Jason.
The Khaleesi is coming.
Yeah, I think Jason isn't as aware of the danger that Danielle presents in the end as he is of Justin. I think that Danielle presents a much greater danger than Justin does. So the Jason fans definitely want to support, Justin staying in over Danielle. Like this is where the fan things, start to get interesting.
Yeah, and it would be a big blow for Jason, who's had a tough road to hoe this season.
Of course Morgan gets picked to play in veto, because nothing ever goes my way in this game.
Nothing has gone Jason's way the whole game, Alex.
Nope.
To be fair.
Because nothing ever goes my way in this game.
Yeah. No.
Yep. Look, so a bunch of salty hookers.
Jason has been dealt a rough hand from CBS from the get-go this season. So
yeah, only coming back one time. Like,
look, he has every right to be salty about the situation that he's in up against all of these first-time players. That it's been tough, but he has dealt with every bump in the road so far.
Yep. Giving Chrissy that care package because we didn't care about Chrissy at all.
Yeah, that's right.
Because nothing ever goes my way in this game.
Other sound clip that I didn't get to play from the Friday night show. And I want to say that it was Tony Scott that mentioned this in the Facebook group of a little bit of a shout out to the Virgin King. On the way out from the other night on the Friday. I think it was on the Thursday night recap.
Sending the Virgin King back to his Virgin Kingdom.
Shout out to the Virgin King.
Is that what they call Maine now?
Yes, the Virgin Kingdom. Virgin Kingdom.
Yeah, that's why I got out of there.
All right, let's start to get into some of the questions that we have. Hashtag RJP. Scott St. Pierre is not with us tonight, so we're going to be having a little bit of a group effort to pull some of the questions. Let's see. That this is from Chris Erickson, who wants to know, the Misfits have burned every bridge. How can Shelby work with any of them? Alex, do you see a possibility that Shelby, of all people, could work with the other side?
Well, she has to try. I mean, that's all you can do at this point. There's you can't just be Ozzy and declare yourself a free agent and expect to get to the end of this game without winning every competition. And unfortunately, in Big Brother, you can't win every competition. So the only option is to try to reintegrate yourself socially, and that's what she's got to do. Whether or not it will work, no, probably not. At this point of the game, it's going to be tough, but the one thing she has going for her potentially still is that they view her as someone who probably isn't likely to win, which is a strong thing to have going for you when you're someone who's secretly as popular as Shelby actually seems to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even with no dogs in the house and no Harry Potter and no hot guys, hopefully she can figure out a way to piece it together.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. I mean, it's very tough when you're just so deprived of all your, sensory needs.
Yes, that's right. This is a question from Robot Taryn wants to know, is Whitney a traitor or a savvy opportunist? Regular Taryn, what do you think of this? What would you say?
I don't think she's either, really. I mean, she's
I'm
not
ready to give her either of these things.
Well, like she's not a traitor in the sense that like she flipped after she found out somewhat credible information that her team, like, she was on the bottom of her team's totem pole. And at the same time, it's not like she really did anything to seize an opportunity. Like if she does decide to take a shot at somebody like Jason Jason or Danielle during the double eviction, if she has that opportunity, that's a savvy opportunist for you. Like that's jumping back from both sides, sniping people off, and then, carving your own path to the end. That would impress me. But I don't know if she does it. She seems to me like somebody who's just like, Justin has been the best to me. He's told me the truth. I just want to go to the end with Justin, even though I'm under the impression that he's super popular.
Okay. Yeah. The savvy opportunist and the traitor have one thing in common, and that's like agency. Like they both take action to do a thing. And Whitney to me is more like the kitten that like came to the door and they had locked it and didn't realize the cat was out. And she's just like scratching at the door, but that door is locked and it's like pouring rain. So she's got to go across the street and they let her in.
Is fastest a word?
I'll side on the savvy opportunist so far. I mean, I think she was the one person from her side that has the presence of mind to say, I see where this is going and I should at least go and be with the other side. She's managed to get out of that situation and not become public enemy number one in the house. So I will say to that end that she's been more of the opportunist. I like it so far. We'll see. I just think that she ultimately needs to make a move to really end up, you know, that there is not the really fervent Whitney support out there like you have with some of these other players. And I think that she needs to, you know, either get some blood on her hands or win some comps down the stretch. And I think that potentially she could sneak in there as a person who ends up getting, what, you know, 35% of the vote on finale night. Would that be enough to do it, Taryn? Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I think I do see that, you know, that little sliver of daylight for her if she could pull it off. But I want to see some killer instinct from her, if not in the house, at least in the diary room, in terms of like, all right, here's what I'm doing.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what
and that's what I haven't seen from her, you know,
not yet. All right. This is bounce around a little bit. Alex, do you have one?
Sure. So here's a question from John Densford. What was Alex's fatal flaw? I believe it was not keeping relationships with Danielle and Chrissy and trying with Jason instead. So what do you think, Taryn? What was Alex's biggest mistake in the game?
You know, she made a lot of mistakes. I think after her HOH week where she got screwed over by America, she just kind of gave up on a lot of social game. She relied on other people like Scott to make deals for her, which was not a good move because Scott was not making the right kinds of deals and he was not saying the right kinds of things. But ultimately, I think her biggest mistake is that she had this really, really overpowered twist in her favor, that she had a sister there. She can trust this person to the ends of the earth. And she didn't utilize it properly. She allowed Morgan to just end up being like an attachment on her instead of sending her out and saying, no, you don't need to be with me. You can be with them. I'll keep you safe. You keep me safe. Like, go out there, socialize with them, stay away from me. It's a risky move in a real season because you don't know this person. You just met them a month ago. But with your sister, you don't ever have to talk to her. You can do like very, very minor checkups here and there. It's what Paul and Victor should have continued to do when they, you know, did the fake fight. But ultimately they got a little comfortable and they just, you know, they said, we're on the same side and they're on the other side and there's nothing that can change about that. She tried to make a couple deals, but obviously they didn't go through. You need to utilize this huge advantage you have. And she just didn't.
Yeah.
Well said.
It's going back to the original Danielle and Jason of Big Brother, where it mm-hmm. used to be that they would just go about their business during the day and then, you know, over a game of cards at the end of the day, sort of compare notes and not be seen as such a close pair in the house.
Yeah, absolutely. Then she should have known that, too, as a fan of the show. Like, she should have known.
What are you going to do? Let's see. How about from Chris Erickson, who says that I guess all of us Ball Smashers fans see the coming pagonging and have abandoned Twitter, leaving it to a brood of haters. Is that fair, Taryn? And let me ask the question this way. I've seen this from a lot of people. Do the Ball Smashers fans, and I think that this is going to look at this time that this election is not decided, that instead of, hey, my person didn't win, I'm going to take my ball and go home. Do the fans of the Ball Smashers need a little bit of a wake up call to say, hey, are you a fan of the Ball Smashers or are you a fan of Big Brother? Sorry, your people that you rooted for didn't win, but pick up your mouse and start voting for, you know, let's go. Let's go. Wait. You know, that it's, you still have to enjoy the, you still have to follow the show, even if your favorite doesn't win.
Well, I do think there's something to that. Cause like I said, I think that the plastic fans will probably decide the outcome of the season. I think they will probably decide who the winner is. And something that I've been talking about is that the Misfit fans seem to have a really bad social game when it comes to, you know, talking on Twitter, right? Like they say things like choke on D-I-C-K's, Taryn. And so I have likened them to like the Russell Hance of fans. And, you know, the majority of them are Danielle fans. We could see the Danielle fans alienate the plastic fans so much that the plastic fans migrate to the Jason side of things. And if Jason and Danielle are sitting there in the end, we could see Jason take it away because of her fans.
That's possible. And I don't want to single out people. Like, I know that you, that obviously that what you have experienced is 100%.
It's not just me.
I get it. I'm sure that if we talk to people that are really big Jason fans or Danielle fans, they'll talk about, oh, well, this Shelby fan said this to me. Yep. This Alex fan said this to me. It's on both sides. So I don't want to single out.
I looked at our YouTube video from Friday, Rob, and I had a criticism of me being like overly just hypercritical of the Misfits. And then another criticism where like Alex needs to stop being such a white knight and, you know, like, defending all these Misfits' point of view that he clearly doesn't believe it. So, like, hey,
that
you can't
means
win.
You're right where you're supposed to be. Right.
Yeah.
Where everybody is mad.
Yeah. Right. But I'm not speculating here. Like, I have seen a lot of this sentiment expressed, especially toward Danielle. Like, that's where it seems to be directed to. I'm not just like pulling it out of nowhere. I think that a lot of people are very annoyed with the timbre of criticism that they receive from Danielle fans specifically. Certainly everyone, but it's definitely, there's a section of people that are particularly vocal, and it seems to be coming from one particular place.
And you're going to see them all vote for Chrissy. Team, watch the world burn.
We can't speak to the people in the house, but I think if I was an active Jason fan, Justin fan, Danielle fan on social media, Whitney fan, if they're out there, and I was in this position of really having a vested interest in the outcome of this season, I think I might try to reach out to the Misfits fans and say, you know what? Okay, I know Shelby is gone, Morgan is gone, Alex is gone. Come join our tent. Come under our tent that we can make a happy ending for this. Try to sell some of these Ball Smasher fans on that this is a positive outcome. And maybe that could be the difference in this season.
Bipartisanship. Yeah. I like
it's time,
it.
It's time to start jury management.
Time
it's
to
not
reach
easy,
across
but
the
if
aisle.
You can harness that power, Rob, it's a powerful tool indeed.
And now we heal. We have to heal as a Big Brother audience.
Yeah, until next season where we can rip it all apart again.
And now, have you guys heard any of these rumors that there could be another BBOTT before we get to Big Brother Proper Alex? Is this just smoke or is there some fire here?
I don't know if there's any fire, Rob. We talked about it a little bit on the happy hour, but as far as we know, it's just speculation. Crazy, intense, ominous speculation.
Ominous speculation. Taryn, do you buy into any of this?
No, I don't buy into it.
Do you feel let me ask you this. Do you feel like that BBOTT has been a success for CBS and CBS All Access?
You know, it's really difficult to know.
They broke a 10 to make this thing. Come on. Of course it was.
In terms of like how much they spent on it, I'm sure they're still making money, but they could make money airing a puppy panel. I don't know. Like they can do anything in there.
Yeah.
But I, as far as their numbers, we have no idea. They have no ratings. If anything, we would have an idea of how many people are listening to this podcast in comparison to the real season of Big Brother. We have no real indication of how well this version is doing, other than the fact that I've seen a lot of people say they're not really happy with it and that they've stopped watching or that they're not watching.
I would say, if I had to guess, I think it's probably been very successful. And I think that a lot of people have been interested. I know coming into BBOTT that people that we were talking with, I know both of you guys were like, I don't know, we'll cover it. I don't know how it's going to be. Brent was like, I don't even know if I want to watch it. He loves it. I think there's been a lot of people super invested. I mean, look how much some people care on Twitter about having a vested interest in people winning this made up season of Big Brother that wasn't even a thing 3 or 4 months ago. And people are like, ah, my favorite needs to win. If you don't like my favorite, I hate you. You're saying terrible things on Twitter. Like, people are super invested into this. And I can definitely see from a business perspective, like, hey, why don't we do another one of these? I mean, what is it like? We're definitely, you know, making money on this thing. And it's probably, if I had to guess, the most popular thing on CBS All Access. I don't know if there's anything else that's on CBS All Access, with all due respect to the great CBS All Access.
Just when you thought being a CBS All Access subscriber couldn't get any better.
Yeah. And then here comes Big Brother All Access. I know that Star Trek is the other big show that is going to be coming to All Access, but I don't believe that's coming until, what, May? So I think that maybe this could be another All Access season, could bridge the gap between that and when you get to Star Trek, and then regular Big Brother.
You're sleeping on reruns of American Gothic, Rob.
Yeah, there's also a Good Wife spinoff. I know Scott St. Pierre is very excited about that, but I'm not sure necessarily if that's going to go ahead and, you know, get a lot of people subscribed to the All Access just for that. So I don't know. I think it makes a lot of sense. I know that in our world, we probably have poo-pooed it, but like, oh, but what about Big Brother Canada? But I don't think that CBS gives a you-know-what about Big Brother Canada. That doesn't
I think
help.
They should, though.
That
they
doesn't
should.
Help them.
They assimilate.
Genuinely, I think that a lot of the people who watch Big Brother OTT are people that also watch Big Brother Canada. And I think that most people would choose Big Brother Canada over Big Brother or BBOTT.
Yeah. So you're saying that they shouldn't counter-program Big Brother Canada, because that people will ultimately could. Oh boy. Could you imagine Alex Kidwell if we simultaneously had a Big Brother OTT and Big Brother Canada season happening? We might need to hire 7 new live feed correspondents.
Yeah,
I just need to.
I'd have to get a whole nother, you know, processor so I could have a whole nother set of feeds going at once.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. Boy, so a lot to talk about as we go through it. But I do think that I would say, if I had to guess, it would be a success of BBOTT.
Yep.
Yeah.
I would agree.
It'd be interesting. It'd be interesting to see. All right. Taryn, were there any questions that you that caught your eye?
Yeah, I got one from Cassie, who asks, who is sitting in the best position for the double eviction and who is sitting in the worst position?
Yeah, let's do power rankings of the people most likely to go home in the double eviction. So I guess we start with Morgan, Shelby. We have to say, what is Shelby the most likely person to go home?
I think so, just because, I mean, from my perspective, the most recent conversation I heard on the matter was Justin and Chrissy talking about how they want to take out Shelby over Morgan. But I don't know that Jason and Danny feel that way. And Jason has been the one to drive the narrative for that group before. So.
Right. And even if it's a 50-50 ball that Shelby has no chance to win the HOH, she has no chance to win the veto. Morgan has a shot at both those things. So if I had to do a flip a coin, just like on Terrence Twitter, I would say that Shelby is number one, most likely to go out in the double eviction. And then Morgan is two.
Yep. Unless they wake up and realize the advantage of just getting rid of the only person who can win a care package.
So here's where things get interesting. Okay. Three, who is the third most likely person to go out in the double eviction, Alex?
I think it's Danielle.
Jason? Okay. Danielle, give me that scenario.
Well, actually, no, I take it back. No, I guess it probably is Jason.
And do all these scenarios start with that Morgan wins the HOH?
I think most of them do.
Okay.
Like I said, I do think there's a small chance Morgan gets the veto. She uses it on herself, gets replaced by Jason, and then Whitney decides, like, let's take a shot at this. That's a very small chance, though.
Whitney as the HOH or as a voter?
As a voter, as somebody who's, or even as the HOH and convincing Justin to do it. I don't know. Would Justin do it? Probably not, but you never know.
I think there's potentially a lot of scenarios where either Danny or Whitney end up on the block, because you could see a misfit win the HOH and then Morgan get the care package. But in those situations, that's pretty much a death sentence for Shelby. So they would just be a pawn.
So Danielle would have to then go up on a Morgan HOH. I mean, that it would just be so interesting to see if Morgan wasn't the HOH, how any of the other people go home, because I'm not seeing it right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's like
it's not
98% chance that either Morgan or Shelby go home if Morgan doesn't win HOH.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I do feel like there's a chance Morgan targets Justin still, because even though Jason and Danielle were the ones to, you know, kind of pull this ruse last night, I mean, they were talking immediately after the ceremony about like, God, I just cannot stand Justin. So, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, like when you win power, if you have no time to make your decision, I do think she might just go ahead and put up Jason and Justin. Like those are two people who represent big targets. They're seen as big targets and they're clearly antagonists in her eyes.
I think it'd be very exciting to see in that spot where Morgan wins the HOH, Jason and Justin go up on the block, and then 100% then the Justin fans have to rally to give Justin the care package. The Jason fans do what, Taryn, in that spot?
If Justin gets the care package?
No, if Justin and Jason are on the block, where are the Jason voters voting?
Oh, the Jason. I think that
who would be most likely to save Jason with the veto?
I think Danielle would save Jason. Yeah, they'd have to give it to Danielle. Danielle would save Jason. Chrissy would go up in his place, and then Justin would get sent home.
Justin would go home over Chrissy in that spot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I think Chrissy is the only person who is 100% safe in this double eviction. I think she does not go home in any scenario.
There is, right, because there is like a slight possibility that they could get Morgan to put Whitney up, and certainly they would vote Whitney out at that point.
Okay. All right. And then is there any scenario for Whitney to go home?
That's basically it. Like, I think she could end up as a pawn for Danielle, certainly. But I think the only way she's actually in danger is like if Morgan wins and then, like you said, Justin wins that care package. And then that side is able to talk to Morgan and convince her, look, we'll take you further. We're not going to target you next. Just, you know, go ahead and make Whitney the target now, because those girls don't necessarily have any love left for Whitney.
Okay.
And Jason really did somewhat consider the idea of maybe we do need to get out Whitney this week. Not for very long, but he considered the idea because he knows that Whitney is attached to Justin and Chrissy and not him and Danielle. So him and Danielle could take this opportunity to say, maybe we do need to get Whitney out because she gives Justin too much power.
And from their perspective, the other side really is down to the bare bones. They believe Shelby and Morgan were always and still remain like the least capable and far and away the least popular members of that side of the house.
Alex, any final thoughts before we wrap this up for tonight?
I kind of am hoping Morgan wins the double eviction head of household, just because I think that creates an opportunity for more interesting outcomes. I think it'll be interesting to see what the fans do from that point. And, you know, on the flip side, I just feel like it's going to be a little bit of,
dream. It's not happening, Alex. You're convincing yourself that like, oh, if I could just like get this inside straight.
You know, no. Hey, I hope for it happening. Until the hope is dead. And when the hope is dead, you know, we make a piece of it.
It's over. It's over.
Well, I hope the rest of my evening isn't so morbid, Rob.
No, Taryn, that Morgan is not winning the HOH tomorrow.
You never know. I mean, these competitions, they tend to be somewhat.
I said that about Chrissy, Rob, and then she rolled a ball down a ramp.
No.
Right. Like,
it's over.
It's certainly possible, but it's very unlikely. It's actually, it's not that unlikely, but it's pretty unlikely.
Mark my words, Morgan is not going to be the next HOH of Big Brother OTT.
Are you trying to like double bluff here?
I'm being a realist, Taryn. I'm telling you the facts. There's a 0% chance that Wednesday night Morgan will be the new HOH of Big Brother OTT.
Well, maybe find a hidden immunity idol, Rob.
Sad but true.
And the couch cushions.
Let's face facts. All right. So, Alex, how does this new timetable for the double eviction affect the Wednesday night happy hour with Jordan Parhar?
It's probably going to end up being a really late show. We're going to end up recording, I don't know, it might be as late as like 1 a.m, because we certainly want to have all the information. It'll probably even be later than that, to be honest, because voting won't end until 1. at which point, like, there's all, like, what's the point of doing a podcast that's going to be outdated in 15 minutes? You know what I mean? Like, we might as well just stay up and record when this stuff ends.
Well, you guys do what you want, whatever you think is best. The good news about right now that we are pretty much live with daily content here in the BBOTT because of the So You Think You Can podcast competition. So at some point, Alex and Brent and Jordan will record a podcast on Wednesday, and then Team Brent will be back in action on Thursday. We will be back with you live on Friday to talk about it. And then who's on Saturday?
Me.
So Alex, Team Alex is back in action with his with the final three from Team Alex. And then Happy Hour is back at it on Sunday. And then Taryn, are you back on Monday?
Yep.
Boom.
Back right. with my awesome team. Back best people the, of the yes. whole competition.
Yeah.
Team
the 12 days of OTT.
And then we'll be back again 1 week from today. On the 15th to talk about the, as we get down to the final six of Big Brother Over the Top. All right. Do we have a hashtag tonight?
It's over.
It's over. It's over. Yes. It's over. It's over. Morgan. That's the hashtag. And so very, look, I'm just trying to be real about this.
Yeah. Well, you certainly, you dropped a big dose of real on this podcast.
Look, there's a Band-Aid. I'm going to rip it off. We're not going to, we're not going to drag this out. You know, you want the guillotine straight down, sugar, clean cut.
I like my sugar coatings, Rob.
No, I'm sorry.
The first thing that comes to my mind when I think of you, Rob, is that, you know, Rob Cesternino keeps it real.
Keeps it real. Just yeah. being completely blunt about everything.
Keeps it 100.
Look, that's what we got. People come here for the facts.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can give the percentage. If you
give us the percentage.
Yeah, among other things. Yeah.
Right. Right. All right. So good stuff. The polls are still open for Team Taryn. If you want to vote on last night's podcast. Taryn, do you have a name for your round table like Kidwell Corner?
Something about robots, right? I think it's, I called them Team Robot in my tweet about it. I can come up with something.
Okay. Very good. All right. Team Robot.
The outer limits of podcasting, maybe.
Outer limits of podcasting. All right. So fun stuff. Be sure to check out, follow Twitter, and I'm sure it will be a lively night as per usual with everything going on. Of course, Alex is on Twitter. He is at Alex Kidwell. Taryn is at Armstrong Taryn. I'm at Rob Cesternino. Hope you enjoyed the show tonight. Looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments, and we'll talk to you again soon. Take care, everybody.